Hello and welcome. Wherever you are in the world today, thank you for joining us for the Rise Traveler, unpacking conversations of sustainable travel. We are here to talk to eco-minded and socially conscious travelers, diversity and inclusion specialists, wildlife conservationists, environmental activists, and anyone using travel as a way to uplift and inspire. Together, we will go a step beyond the Instagram-ready world of travel and take a look at how travel can be a source of growth and development for all people and all communities. And now, here's your host, Amy Hager.
Joining me remotely is Gabriella from Magdas Hotel in Austria. Thank you for joining me. I know it's late right now and it's early here, so great to see you.
Thank you for the invitation. Welcome to Vienna.
Well, so I think where I want to start our conversation today, this is going to be a really great story. But I have to ask, what does Magdas mean? What is the name all about?
Actually, it's a shortcut for our philosophy. Translated, it means I liked it. Ich mag das is I liked it, but also it's just a name of a girl, Magda. And so it's a nice double meaning. And sometimes when guests come into the hotel, say, oh, well, what does Magdas mean? And I can say, okay, listen to it. It means I liked it. Yeah. And so I have the feeling when you leave the hotel, you should have the feeling, okay, I liked it.
Oh, I love that. So it's a feeling, right? I liked it. And that's especially in the lodging and the hospitality industry. That's what we want our guests to feel, is they enjoyed their time. They loved the experience. And the experience that you're creating there at the Magdas Hotel is a little bit different than traditional lodging. So you're running this as a social business in Austria since 2015. You told me you have 88 rooms with a restaurant and bar, and you also said breakfast in the garden is amazing. So I'm already hooked. I cannot wait to book. But what's different is the social business, the concept, the model that you're running this hotel. So can you explain a little bit about that and in the business model?
Of course, and thank you for this question, because it's the main reason why we exist. Magdas only exists because the idea behind is we want to give jobs to people who hardly get jobs in Vienna. Yeah. And we focus, actually, we make people who come to Vienna as guests, as unusual guests, let's say refugee, we make them into hosts. And the problem behind was that when we started to create the idea, in many advice centers, we got the impression that people turned to come back because they couldn't integrate into the Vienna economy. They didn't get a job. Nobody saw these people. And so we asked ourselves, what can we do about this? Yeah? Wow. They are talented people. They are highly motivated. They want to work. And why don't they get a job? And so we try to give an answer with our hotel, because here they get a job, they get the training, they can make an apprenticeship program, they can finish with a diploma, and so they can enter the job market more easily after they have worked with Magdas.
Okay, so it's an opportunity for them to learn, to re-enter the job market. And so you're really, you know, a teaching business, right? You're giving them those skill sets for them to continue and to grow. But I think too, the other really unique thing that I read about the hotel is your team has come from 11 nations and speaks more than 20 languages. And so why is it important for Magdas Hotel to have that diverse team with cultural backgrounds to help serve your guests, to help with the business model? Why is that important?
Well, actually, this comes naturally when you are focusing on people with a refugee background, because the refugees come from many countries, from Somalia, Afghanistan, from many African countries, from Chechnya. So it's not important where they come from. Now they are home in Vienna. Yeah? And this is where we want to support them, to give them a new home, to give them a new job. And so it's very natural that we are completely mixed. And our staff consists of experts, the trainers, and people who get the training. Yeah.
Okay.
And altogether, we come from many different countries, from very exotic countries, from neighboring countries. Mm-hmm. And really, it's not important where we come from. It's important what we are doing now. Yeah. And I think we want to create a very cozy atmosphere here, very natural atmosphere. And I think when you read the feedbacks of Magda's Hotel, and this is the biggest pleasure to me, that in many feedbacks the staff, the people are highly praised. It's so nice here. It's the atmosphere, it's the humor, it's the chatting of the people. This is what is important in our business. Many people don't see that we are a very strange house, because our house is not very posh. Yeah, it's very creative. We use lots of recycled, upcycled material. We had very creative designers helping us renovating this house. But I think more important, it's about people here.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so I've got two questions that I want to follow up with you on that, about the house and the decor and the design, because I'm super curious. But to continue this conversation about the people, so what was the initial reason that really prompted the leadership decision to provide employment opportunities to refugees and asylum seekers?
Yeah, we want to prove with this example that people are a great contribution to the Austrian labor market. Yeah. We see ourselves as a pilot project for other hotels, for the tourism industry, to show and to prove to say, look what brilliant and what great employees they are. They can learn everything. They are very motivated. And actually, we should not exist as Magda's. Yeah, we should not be necessary if all the hotels open their doors for our new guests here in Vienna. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because why shouldn't they be trained in other hotels? But we saw the need, we show or give the proof that this works. And I think, we have succeeded, because in the meantime, I have the impression many other hotels also started apprenticeship program, especially for this target group. But still, there's a long way to go. Still, people with a refugee background have difficulties to enter the work market. It takes a long time until they find a job. So, we have some more impression to give for helps. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not a quick and easy business model. It really is something that you are pouring your heart and soul into, not only serving the guests, really serving your employees, training them. And I'm sure where they're coming from in this world, there's things that are going on with them too. And so I could only imagine just the gifts that you're giving there at the hotel to guests, to the employees, to yourselves. And so what I would love to hear is, can you share a little bit about us, like where the refugees employees are from? I know you mentioned some countries and things like that. And then if you don't mind sharing, stories from them, I would love to hear a little bit about their perspectives and what's going through their minds.
Yeah, as I said, at the moment, we have many refugees from Syria and Afghanistan, of course. If you follow a little bit of politics here in Europe, this is the main group who is coming to Europe. Mm-hmm. And I think every person is really unique with their story. And I have one colleague I want to tell you about. It's Ali, and he came in 2015, and we got in contact, I think, 1 or 2 years after he arrived. And in Austria, it takes some while until you get your asylum status. And before you haven't an asylum status, you're not allowed to work. So what Ali did, he tried to work with different organizations on a volunteer basis.
Yeah? Okay.
This is allowed. So when he came to us, he hardly spoke German properly, but still he was so motivated. And he started in our housekeeping team. And we have a social worker in our team who supports people then whatever is needed, finding a flat, dealing with their debts, with health problems, whatever. And Ali really was very keen to bring his wife and his child to Vienna. He hadn't seen his little girl because she was born after he left Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And so our social worker really supported him bringing the family here to Vienna. And we were all very touched at the moment. I think it took him 2 years until he succeeded. And the girl wow. was already 3 years. Yeah. And then he saw his little girl at the airport. And I think this was so touching for the whole team here when he kind of showed us then that girl and his wife came and he finally could kind of start living a proper life here with the family.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, this is on the one hand, he needed work here in Austria to really to earn the money to be able to bring the family here. Right. And so he was so such an eager colleague. Yeah. He was eager to learn. He learned the language. He took every chance what he could get. He then made a driving license. So he is such a good wow. example for potential in a person. And when the person gets some support, he could really kind of fulfill his dreams. And this, I liked the idea. And in the meantime, he left Magdas already.
Okay.
The next job, because this is the goal of Magdas, to give them a proper training and then they can move on. So he left Magdas, has now a good job, is I think at the moment working on his school exams to also be able to get the official school diploma. Yeah, so I think it will come for successful.
I know you've said it, but it just completely hit me. Like, this is the first stepping stone. Like, you know, the goal isn't to keep them forever, even though they're amazing employees, amazing workers, and a part of your family, but it really is for them to graduate and to move on to other careers, other businesses, other things in their life. And how special to be able to be there when the family came on.
Yeah.
Came and you got to meet them all. I love that story.
But I also want to show that this social business is not easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you always have to balance the social issue and the business issue. We have to earn the money we need for this business ourselves. We don't get any public funding. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me give you another example where we really learned a lot because we had a colleague in the kitchen.
Okay.
And we observed that this colleague, he was really motivated and worked, but sometimes he had difficulties to really do the job. So okay. we asked our social worker to talk with him, to work with him. Then it got better, then it got worse. And we thought, okay, we can't deal with it because we need a good worker in the kitchen. Otherwise, all the other people have to kind of do his job. And this is, of course, in a social business where we have to earn the money. Not a good perspective. And finally, and then found out that he had some traumas. And when the traumas popped up, that it was difficult for him to work. Yeah. And finally, we decided, look, this is not the right job for you because first you need proper therapy or whatever, that you really can do a proper job. Yeah. So after 1.5 years, we quit the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, no, this is not what we want.
Right.
But still he did have a work. He could get some experience. Right. Even he could not kind of finish the diploma. Yeah. But and what we learned that we have to look more closely in the beginning, in the first phase, we work together with people.
Yeah.
Are they able to fulfill the job? Is there anything in the way? Yeah. So what we learned that we look more in depth in the first 3 months when we work with a person, will they be able to fulfill the job to finish the work? Yeah. So it's not always just nice. Sometimes it means very hard decisions because for me, it was really difficult to kind of tell him that he cannot work here any longer.
Yeah.
So what I want to say leading a social business or working here in the team is also sometimes quite, yeah, quite hard, quite, how do you say in English? You have to go on the limits, yeah? Because you don't want to say a person, look, it's not going on here.
Right, it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, and it's for him really all his plans broke. Yeah.
No, I totally get that, and I think too, like, it's that balance. But then taking from what you learned from that experience, and I'm sure you learned from every experience with your employees, of how you can improve the interactions, how you can improve the function and flow. Like, you know, putting on my business hat, right? And but still care about them and still provide and still build this community. And I'm sure there's days that it's just absolutely heartbreaking, and then there's days that it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful story, right? So then I think now I want to talk and make a shift from the community and the people. Because one of the other topics I think that's important to us at Rise, but also to you, is the environment and the furniture and upcycling of the furniture that y'all use at the hotel. And I know you have some examples behind you. And so then is that part of the work that some of the employees get to do? Are they in charge with making the pieces so that they're functional and usable? You know, tell us more about that part of it. I'm curious.
Yeah, actually the staff now is not involved anymore because the furniture is ready.
Done.
Yeah. But in the beginning, actually the question was, how can we kind of renovate the house with really little money? We didn't have a proper budget to do all what a proper hotel needs. So the idea was, okay, we will ask just the community to support us, to help us.
Yeah.
So, and we worked with volunteers and we worked what we had, and we worked with donations. So many of the chairs, the sofas are donated because people phone and say, oh, I have a really wonderful old sofa from the 60s. Do you want to have it?
Wow.
Yeah. So we got really wonderful presents. Wow. And with these presents and with the furniture, which was already here in the house, it was built in the 60s and 70s. Okay. And we had a designer who made designs from old cupboards. We cut out new furniture. Yeah.
Wow.
So I brought the plates to the carpenter cut out the new pieces, and volunteers put together the new pieces to new tables, new night tables, new benches, and so on. So it's really creative, our rooms. But yeah, it was more with the help from students, from refugees, from some refugee houses, that we built together all this furniture. But at the moment, yes, sometimes we get some new donations. Somebody's coming, oh, I don't want to throw away my 60s sofa, do you want to have it? And sometimes we take it when it's really lovely. But yeah, that's the design concept from our hotel. And in the opening year 2015, we got even the Austrian Design Prize for this design, the combination of social goals and upcycling design. So we were quite happy with this. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. You know, really, Magdis Hotel really embodies all of what Rise Travel Institute is about, and building community and being passionate about improving this life that we're living and the lives of others. So can you tell us a little bit more about how people can find you and people can support you? Obviously, donating furniture isn't what you need anymore, but how? what's the need right now of this social business? Sure.
Actually, stay with us, have fun with us. This is what we need from people and what we want to invite. If you visit Vienna, just go to our website, do your booking, or come for a coffee if you stay somewhere else, or stay with friends, have your dinner here or whatever. So yeah, I think we don't need donations. We want to have guests.
I love that. I love that stage of the business.
and we before COVID, before Corona, we were really well booked. We had an average booking rate of over 80% per year, which is great for city tourism here in Austria.
Right.
So we're quite successful. So we can prove that our business concept really works. The people like us. Yeah. And if you want to stay in the original Magdas, you have to come until August, because in September we moved to a new hotel. Mm-hmm. We are at the moment renovating because we have to close this premises. Mm-hmm. And either here or then in the new house, which is not new, it's renovated again. We have a very special design concept with more involving people. So it will be very exciting too. But the original you can only experience until August.
Until August. Okay. And so then as we're talking about the future, I'd love to hear, if you look into a crystal ball, how do you see the future of social business influencing the travel industry of tomorrow?
Well, my wish and my idea is that companies like our really, really influence the market more, because I think we really contribute. We contribute to the community, to the society on the one hand, but also to the business, but in a very sustainable way.
Yeah.
I think booking with us, you really change the world. Yeah. Right. Just a small bit, but I think many small bits really make the big change. Yeah. And yes, of course, we did some ecological thoughts here with the upcycling, but in the new hotel, we did the renovation from scratch on. We have the whole energy system will be sustainable. We have photovoltaic, we have other energy systems. So we really tried to offer our guests a real good choice. So when they travel to Vienna, and please travel if possible on a sustainable way, or if you have to fly, stay longer. Don't just come for 1 or 2 days. Decide, okay, I go once to Vienna, stay here for a week, get all the sights, enjoy your life, but don't kind of come for a coffee.
Right. I mean, stay
for a while, enjoy, and think about what is the impact of your travel. So I think we have to think this over. We have to change here really a lot. Mm-hmm. If you can come by train, please come by train. Come by bike. We have lots of bike visitors here. In summer, we have many bike visitors.
Yeah.
Probably they have the feeling that Magdas fits to their lifestyle. Yeah.
Yep. That would make sense.
Yes, I think it's the vision to really what we do, we want to do in a sustainable way. Whatever we serve, our breakfast should be ecological. So the whole selection process, what we offer to our guests, is very sustainable. Yeah, that's what I can guarantee. So I hope the contribution from our visitors, from our guests, is also well thought through.
Gabriella, this is such an amazing story. And thank you so much for sharing the details of Magnus Hotel and everything that you're doing there and in the future. I'm so excited to be able to stay connected and follow and really see the impact that you're making on the world. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about Magnus. Yeah. And come to Vienna, Amy.
Most definitely. Once travel is allowed, I think this is a new place on my list that was not on my radar before. And so thank you for the invite. I really enjoy. And so that brings us to an end of our conversation today. If you have enjoyed this conversation and you want to learn more as well, you can always go to our website, risetravelinstitute.org/subscribe to receive our newsletter. And then we'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, keep roaming, keep learning, and continue to be a RISE traveler. Thank you for joining us.
Goodbye from Vienna.
This podcast is an extension of the RISE Travel Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study tours, and scholarships. Visit risetravelinstitute.org to learn more.